Initialize sequence now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
You're probably fourth grade spelling champion, weren't you?
I was always a good speller.
Okay.
Although I did get knocked out, like, I still, it haunts me to this day. Mrs. Hayes, fifth grade class. I hated Mrs. Hayes. She was awful.
Plus, be quiet and take attention.
Oh, come on. You don't hate any teacher, do you? Do you hate a teacher?
Brutal.
Fifth grade teacher?
Yeah, I didn't like
her.
Okay. She was not nice. She made Jimmy Kipnis swallow his phlegm. She was not a nice lady.
Man, that's just me.
So back to the scarring spelling bee experience.
So we're in the spelling bee, and I get down to, like, the final four. This is, like, fifth grade. And the words weren't that the government, you know, not horribly tough.
Uh-huh.
They said, been. I have been there. And I went,
I know it. I totally know it.
B-I-N.
What?
No, it's B-E-E-N. You're out.
You were done
knocked
in?
Out on the word bin.
Are you stupid or something? Honestly, as stupid as a stupid noise.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
To downtown Chicago.
Chicago! Bolchek scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in on a foggy Wednesday morning. Cap and Haw on the air on Comcast Sports at WGN Plus alongside the sweaty, but he's here on time. David Haw. I'm David Kaplan. He's the lead columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Mike Jacobson, our great executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Costell, our great director. So I'm driving in the fog this morning, and I'm thinking, no shot that his plane lands. None. And I walk in, and Mike goes, his plane landed. I'm like, it did? Really? And here you are.
Yeah.
Comes running in. How much time? I go, 8 seconds.
8 seconds, yeah. Eight seconds to spare.
Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, Cap. A little harried getting over here this morning, but everything went on time. I had a hard time believing we were flying out, too. But we did. We're here. And quite a game last night. It was, you talk about in a fog. Minnesota Wild in a fog right now, down 3-0. But the Blackhawks did what they needed to do. Glad I was there. Great atmosphere. Didn't bring your donuts. Sorry about that.
People were tweeting at you.
I know.
Don't forget Caps donuts.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. But it was a great atmosphere and a great response by Corey Crawford, and Patrick Kane did again what he has done this postseason. And the Hawks are now
on the brink.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a matter of time.
So I watched the game last night. Taped it, came home, watched it again, and had the Calgary game on, which was awesome. I fell asleep going into overtime. I was just dead. Wake up this morning, I'm like, oh, it's only 4.5 minutes in, and I could have stayed up.
Well, that game is good for the Blackhawks because the longer that series goes, the better it is for everybody. And now they have, you know, the Ducks are playing as well as anybody. The Hawks are playing as well as anybody. You don't worry so much about the East yet because those two teams look like they're on a collision course. I can't believe how the Wild came into this series the best team in hockey since January 15th, and this is what we've gotten.
Now, if they had lost 5-1 last night, I would say, okay, they don't believe all the hype. They only lost 1-0. Crawford was magnificent, and I said to Matt Rooney, Crawford was magnificent. But you know who I thought was the key player in the game last night? Obviously, the goalie gets a ton of credit because he's the goalie.
The fifth defenseman?
No. Their defense was great.
Yeah, it was.
Marcus Kruger was...
Kruger was great.
Amazing.
Kruger was very good. I wrote about this. I thought that he knocking Pominville over at the end of the first period...
That was the start of your column.
Yeah. That was a... You looked and you thought that had to be Andrew Shaw.
And you thought that would have been the Blues doing that to, like, Patrick Kane.
Yeah, you thought that would be the response of a team that, you know, needed to rally together. And you thought the Wild would look at that as an opportunity to say, okay, that woke us up. They didn't do anything.
Nothing.
There was no response, and I think that was disappointing. And even the Minnesota people were like, yeah, thanks, man. It was like, boy, what's wrong with these guys? And you looked at –
How was the environment?
For about 15 minutes, the first 10 minutes of the game, it was a frenzy. And then Patrick Kane scored 14 minutes into the game, and it was like They had a power outage the night before, and the electricity was sucked out of the building after that goal. That's the way it was. There was stunned onlookers. There were people who were just, boy, is this really happening to us? What happened? You know, what happened to this team?
We thought this is the year we get over the hump. Yeah. And I read the Minnesota papers today, the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I didn't read the St. Paul Pioneer Press, but I read the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And Chip Scoggins, one of their writers, had a really good line in there. He said, you know, you thought this might be the year they get over the hump. Instead, he goes, they're on the verge of being swept away, the 112th team in NHL history to be swept in a seven-game series. He said, and take how about this for a dose of sobering reality, Minnesota Wild fans? Jonathan Toews just turned 27. Patrick Kane's 26. Brandon Saad's 22, and Teuvo Teravainen's 20. They ain't going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere, and I think that the Wild hope that Wild fans hope that the Blackhawks are dismantled by the salary cap this summer, but the people you mentioned aren't going to be affected by that, and that's the reality. And, you know, afterward in the postgame press conference, Mike Yeo was talking about, well, Corey Crawford is just great against us. He's great against everybody in the postseason. I mean, it's not like
they've won a cup with him.
Yeah, they won a cup, and he's also had his best regular season of his career. So it's not like this guy is a, you know, just fell off the back of a truck and, oh, let's try him at goalie. Oh, that works. It's a fluke. There's nothing fluky about this.
Mike Yeo sounded a little whiny.
Yeah.
His comment in the paper up there was guys like Patrick Waugh and I'm trying to remember who the other elite goalie he mentioned.
Dryden?
Ken Dryden against us. And he said, we deserved better. No, you didn't.
No, they got what they deserved. This was a team that has not responded like you thought they would respond. And the Hawks, give credit to Corey Crawford. First period of the first game of the playoffs, he gets pulled. I don't care what kind of athlete you are, how much you've accomplished. Your confidence is shaken. He watches his understudy become a national star. For good reason. Scott Darling's a great story. And then he disappears, Crawford, into the background, is a supportive teammate, does all the right things, says all the right things, comes back.
Privately, he's fuming.
Yeah, wouldn't you be?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But what's the best way to display that sort of emotion? To be better than you were before. Joe Quenneville looks like a master motivator right now.
He does.
He got the best out of Scott Darling in the first series. He's getting the best out of Corey Crawford in this one. And you give him credit. Corey Crawford, 30 saves. He was tremendous. And that was his game. It was crow time and show time. Crawford and Kane. That was what last night was all about.
Phenomenal. 312-235-2525. Also, too bad we weren't in Vegas yesterday. I told you the Sox were going to beat the Tigers last night.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, that must win.
They needed a win after Rick Hahn spoke. Kenny Williams was upset about music playing in the locker room.
I saw that. I tweeted that.
Offensive to a female reporter. Yeah. And they came out. So Marja gave up a run in the first and a run in the second and then pitched four-hit ball the rest of the way.
In those
uniforms.
That
was a big win.
How big of an effect were the 1983 unis?
Keep them on every game till you lose.
That was Samarja's choice, right?
Yeah, the starting pitcher always gets to choose.
What if he wants to wear those every time out?
He can.
Really? I like them, but I don't know if I want to overdo them. Like, you don't want to wear the same thing. Like,
whatever it takes, man.
It had nothing to do with it. He just pitched
but
well.
But they played well.
He's good in bad weather. He is a very good bad weather pitcher.
He's a mutter.
He's a mutter.
He's a horse that runs in the
His
rain.
His mutter was a mutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. So, good win for the White Sox.
Hold on. But we want to get back to what we'll talk to Eddie Olczyk about the Hawks 9:55.
Yep. Chris Dolman's in our studio, the NFL Hall of Fame DN.
Looking forward to that. A little football talk. I was just from his home base. I'd like to talk to him about a few things, Vikings, a few things, Bears, a few things NFL related. But when we get back to the White Sox, I want to discuss what Rick Hahn said because he's right. I think, first of all, you give him credit for being a general manager that is accountable, accessible, and doesn't deny what's going on here. Showed up first game of a homestand to address the elephant in the room. He's right. It's not fair to hold one person responsible.
But that's business.
Baseball's not fair.
It's the way it is.
Sports isn't fair.
Correct.
Business isn't fair.
Correct.
So I appreciate what he had to say. and I appreciate that he said it. But I have to say that I don't know, did it change your mind at all about what's going on the South Side? Because I think we both feel like
not what he said.
They've got to turn it on, because the manager is important enough to where you can set a tone, and the best way to players for the respond is to win.
What he said did not affect anything, because I would have expected him to say what he said. The fact that they went out last night and delivered and beat the Tigers, who's a really good team, that was important.
What happens tonight, though? I mean, you have to.
Who's pitching tonight? Sale. Oh, you've got to win
with
that game.
You've got to win tonight.
You have to win with that
game. You've got to win with your aces.
And I don't feel as good about that game as I did yesterday.
Why? Bad breakfast? Or you just have a bad vibe?
No, I'm not saying they're going to lose. I'm just saying yesterday I looked at it. I looked at the history. I just felt Samardzija, knowing him like I do, I just felt like he was going to come out and pitch his you-know-what off. And he did.
All this Sox, is this just a way to stall talking about the Cubs' bullpen issues?
No,
lately?
We can get to that, too. Okay. They added two new arms. Boy. James Russell's up. They claimed a guy off of waivers. They brought him up. And Justin Grimm, they may pull him from a rehab appearance and bring him up now. So they'll have 13 pitchers.
It's unfortunate because they've had two leads against the best team in the National League so far, and they've blown them both.
Correct.
So, and then we have to talk about tonight's game.
The other elephant in the room. The Bulls are playing.
Yeah, the Bulls. And LeBron is committed to being more aggressive, as you expect. He's committed to being a bigger difference maker, and that's always a problem because, you know, the first game the Bulls have won before. Beat LeBron twice, mm-hmm. and then we're impressed.
I've got great energy today. I mean, great energy. I'm always an energetic guy.
I'm impressed, man. I've been here all 10 minutes.
I have elite energy. Do you know why?
I know why.
I came home last night, and I set my head down just like this on my pillow. Oh, I slept like a baby. Got up this morning.
Shut up.
My wife said, hey, it's foggy out there. You better leave early. You'll be all stressed when you get to work. I said, hon. Put my head down on a MyPillow. I had a magnificent night's sleep. Let me grab a cup of coffee, and I'll get myself going. And you can have that chill, relaxed morning just like me. Get a MyPillow. What a perfect Mother's Day gift for your wife, for your mom. And if it's with your wife, you get to use it too. MyPillow. I'm promising you they'll love it. Recommended by the National Sleep Foundation. I've been praising this product for a long time now. Interlocking fill. They got the cooling effect to keep your head cool throughout the night. 10-year warranty. They've sold over 5 million of them. MyPillow. So confident. It'll be a great Mother's Day gift. They'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee if mom's not happy. 100% of your purchase price refunded. But trust me, she'll love it. And right now, to welcome our new advertiser, 50% off all their products. Use the promo code CAP. K-A-P. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code CAP, K-A-P, or 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. Promo code's K-A-P for 50% off. Get it in time for Mother's Day. What a great, magnificent gift, MyPillow. Trust me, you'll be just jacked like me. Be right back.
Cap and Haw.
That's the Achilles heel of Chicago. They got everything you need. They got all the guys that won the cups, two cups. But the Achilles heel is Corey Crawford.
Quick left circle, cuts in front with a backhand. Big save by Crawford. Granlin point blank shot. Crawford, the save, loose puck in the crease. And Crawford lays down on the goal line and laid the stick ahead of it to keep that puck out of the net. Another major save by Crawford. Easy to Granlin, breaking into the Hawk zone down the side. Beaks and shoots. Crawford punches it out of there with a blocker save. That's a save of the game for the Hawks.
It was a goalie win. It was one of those games from the outset, we needed him to be strong and made some key stops, particularly in that second period and around the net in the third. So they go hard at the net, and he really held his ground and effective with his rebound control as well. So big night for him.
That was the goofy comments from Barry Melrose on ESPN. And Corey Crawford's the Blackhawks' Achilles heel. Last night he called him the player of the day. Pick a lane, dude. Corey Crawford was outstanding last night, and the Blackhawks are three up on the Minnesota Wild. Cabot Hall back with you on CSN WGN Plus.
Well, I'll say this. If Corey Crawford is the Blackhawks' Achilles heel, then this is a team without weakness.
That's how you ended your column
today. It is how I ended my column today. Thanks for reading all the way to the end.
I always do.
And I understand, look, he's an analyst. Cap, if people, they do, they isolate on things that we say, and we're going to be wrong. and you're going to be off base. I think this is one of those ones that Barry Melrose is going to want back. Because Corey Crawford, as we discussed yesterday, was the guy that was bad enough to be pulled in the first series. But he is the one of the biggest reasons they believe they can win the Cup and why they're playing so well in this series. He, you know, when you look back to the Nashville series, and I asked Joe Quenneville this last night after the game, and you know how far he had come from being pulled to last night, and he said, "Hey, he played pretty well in the closeout game against the Predators. Mm-hmm. Remember, they're cheering his name, and you know he really recovered from that adversity. And this was kind of like, okay, this is familiar. Last night, even better. He upped it a notch, the level of play so much better in front of him. That Jalmerson was terrific." Duncan Keith was his stellar self. And for some reason, can somebody explain to me, why was the wild crowd chanting Crawford, Crawford?
The Achilles heel is Corey Crawford.
Why was the crowd cheering?
Well, like when
chanting
derisively? You've been in many arenas.
Make any sense,
like
though.
When I go, like Cleveland the other night, every time Noah touched the ball, it was either Noah or they're booing.
Well, that's different. Joakim Noah brought that on himself.
Yeah, but they do it with goalies all over the place.
Okay.
Try and get in their head. But if a
guy's pitching a shutout, I think I'd shut up.
If a guy's got major league cojones, you hear that, I would think yeah.
Crawford after the game acknowledged, obviously, he sort of chuckled hearing it and saying, hey, that's part of it, as you pointted out. And yeah, you do want to play better. You do want to, and he did.
I'm trying to think of
I'll just say this, but after the game, Corey Crawford's an interesting guy. I would really, as long as this postseason goes, I think I'd like to just look at, he's a hard guy to figure out, you know, because there's a lot there. There's got to be. As much as adversity as he faces and recovers from and the ups and downs, and he is very steady. Is he oblivious? Is he enlightened? What is it about Corey Crawford that makes him able to deal with the ups and downs as well as he can?
Because he's a goalie.
Well, that's not
goalies
enough.
Are
there's
like
a lot of goalies that
goalies
are like
that. Kickers. Got to be able to shake off a missed field goal, a closer. Those, to me, are all the same.
He gets locked in, Cap. It's very interesting to observe. Post-game at his locker room, so there's about four or five of us around him, and you ask him a question, and he's looking at you, but he asks somebody, could you repeat that? I really didn't get it. But he was looking right at the guy. He's like, he's looking right through him. His mind is somewhere else. He's in this trance-like state. It's something to see, because you know that he has to go to a place to be able to withstand what he just withstood. It's the mental part of being a goaltender has always fascinated me, because it's different from other sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you have to have that sort of toughness.
It's like being a closer.
Yes and no. I almost think it's more than any other sport, the taxing, because of physical and mental combination, because of how fast things happen. The closer, it's, you know, you're kind of geared all up for three outs. The quarterback, yeah, you have to maintain and access a whole encyclopedia of, you know, football information. A goalie, boy, there's some flurries last night where just, they could have gone either way. It's just, I don't know. I was standing there last night thinking, man, this Corey Crawford, do we really know this guy?
No.
He's really impressive how he's handled him, the being replaced, and now he's back on top.
The puck that was rolling into the net and he reached back and scooped it away with his glove,
yeah,
that was magnificent.
So he's able to preserve a 1-0 victory. He has a goal to cushion, and that goal came from Patrick Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
hockey, baby!
When you think about
thank
how
you, Kaner.
Again, this sounds like an ode to the Blackhawks, and why not? And why not? Because today they're up 3-0 on the best team in hockey since January 15th. We're sitting here last night watching that game, and it was May 5th. Cinco de Mayo, no jokes, but I did.
Yeah, you had that in your column, and I'm like, he had to go.
Thank
there,
you. I had to work that in there. Kaner did celebrate like a guy at a Cinco de Mayo party. I love his celebrations. Anyway, 10 weeks to the
name the celebration. Who does this one? It's not Kane. As soon as he scores, it's that. That's Keith.
Oh, okay.
He's always like that. But Kaner, when he's got a few different ones.
He's got a few different ones. 10 weeks to the day that he broke his collarbone.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's not supposed to be back for two more weeks.
2 weeks, boy.
And you had a very good line when you said 2 weeks from now he might be the front runner for the Conn Smythe.
He might be. At this rate, is that crazy?
No.
I mean, you can bring those words back like Barry Melrose if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's crazy. If you had to name one player on the Hawks right now, Keith has been playing as well as anybody on that team, and Patrick Kane because of the clutch goals that he scored.
Holmstrom is a great defenseman.
Holmstrom was outstanding, I think. Jalmerson was phenomenal.
Everywhere.
That was his best game.
I think so.
But I said to Matt, you can't pick one guy was the best player on the ice because there were a bunch of stars. You cannot let Marcus Kruger get out of town. I know he's a third or fourth line guy. Marcus Kruger is a huge part of what they
do. I'm so
do.
Glad you said that. I was thinking the same thing last night because this guy is very unappreciated. And I think he's one of those guys that you'll miss when he's gone. But, Cap, let me ask you this, though. Didn't you feel sort of similarly about Dave Boland?
No.
You think that Kruger's relative worth to this team is more than Dave Boland's
worth? No question.
That's interesting.
And it's funny because if you go back to 2010, the Hawks let a number of guys go. They had to after the Cup run. And the one guy that they let go that I know they regret and they would do it differently if they could do it again, is the same type of thing I see in Marcus Kruger, Andrew Ladd.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
A tremendous leader.
Yeah.
He's never going to be confused with Sidney Crosby or Evgeny Malkin or Patrick Kane or Jonathan Tate, but a great leader. You cannot let Kruger get out of town. Those are the kind of guys that help you win. You got to have the stars, but the stars aren't going anywhere. You got to keep this guy. Got to.
How expensive is he going to be? How much can you fit him under your payroll? You know, he's young. That's the one thing people forget, too. He's only like 24 years old. All these guys are young. You're right. If I were Mike Yo, I'd want to maybe think about the Eastern Conference.
Can I get a job in the East? Detroit opens or somewhere else? 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by ABT. Apt Electronics in Glenview. aptabt.com. Ask for the one and only Steve Shapiro. The great Eddie Olczyk joins us coming up on Cap and Haw.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
To Sharp at center ice, to Shaw over the wild line, to Kane left circle, shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane, who came into this game with a 5-game point streak, 4 goals and 3 assists, make it 6 straight games. And 5 goals and 3 assists and 8 points. He is red hot. It's a power play goal and 1-0 Hawks.
We've had a couple chances, the last couple games off the rush where we think we could have scored. That's kind of a similar play that happened in game two that happened tonight on that rush there. So, like I said, it was a good play all around to get the puck from one side to the other and come in with the speed and try to get a shot off the rush.
Showtime delivers again, but a key play was the chip to him from Andrew Shaw.
Kind of just a backhanded
slip. Chipped it down there.
He got it from Sharp. Shaw got it to Kane, and Kane did
Sharp actually tried to get it to Kane.
Right.
It got deflected to Shaw.
Right.
And he reached out and got it, chipped it out to Patrick Kane, who got the goal. That's the only goal of the game. Hawks win 1-0. Captain Hawk continues on Comcast Sportsnet. By the way, breaking news. Away
again?
From hockey for a second.
Okay.
I didn't win for the best male hair in local news. They just announced the results this morning. I lost.
Who is they?
A company called. I'm not even.
And how do you know this?
Because everybody's.
And why
tweeting
do we care? Okay.
I thought my hair was coming along. It's starting to come in full again. I haven't shaved it in 2 days.
A few more nights with the MyPillow, maybe.
312-235-2525. Okay, so Patrick Kane gets the big goal. Corey Crawford plays outstanding. The team defense, forwards, defensemen, everybody locked in. What was it like inside the XL Energy Center the last 10 minutes? Because I'm watching it and the Hawks are in defensive mode.
Okay, that was one 20-minute period that was basically a 20-minute power play for the Wild.
Correct.
They were in penalty kill mode the entire time. Everything happened at that end. There was kind of anxiety everywhere because this was the worst fear in the state of hockey because their season is all but over. There's no reason, there's no argument you could make right now Cap. And you can try if you want. 312-235-2525. Anyone wants to try. That can say that the Minnesota Wild, the team that has not led in this series, is going to come back and beat the Hawks four straight. Your season is over. And that reality started to sink in the third period. What if we can't score? What if we lose this game? Oh, my goodness. Now, to the credit, to credit the team on the ice for playing with that sort of fever pitch, the fans were into it. They're waving those white towels of surrender. And I think that they just felt like the Hawks had to take their best shot. And the best penalty killer is always your goalie. And it was again last night for the Hawks.
Blackhawks 3-0 series lead. But David talked about it being like a 20-minute power play. Here's Corey Crawford on the frenetic pace of period three.
No, they're in our zone, but like I said, we were able to get a lot of pucks out and relieve pressure. They were flying. They had a lot of energy, boost from their fans, but we stuck with our game. We played hard. We had some chances too. We hit the crossbar and another one, Sharpie just had wide. So that was a pretty good third by us, I thought.
Pretty good third by us. I thought so too.
Pretty good.
And I just can't get over his demeanor after the game. He's always very good, and maybe it's because he played so well. But he just is – I was just impressed by how calm he was. Cap, this is 8 minutes, 9 minutes after the game. He went on – I think they showed on NBC – I'm sorry. It was on NBC
– NBCSN.
NBCSN, okay. They had him as the post-game interview, right, mm-hmm. with Pierre. So he did that, and then Crawford comes in the dressing room. It's open. And this is within 10 minutes of the game ending. And Corey Crawford's sitting there just, hey, man, what's up?
Still have the big pads on?
How you doing? Yeah, he had the big pads on. Yeah, that was a pretty furious third period. And we were fine. I mean, it was just like there were reporters in there with more juice going than Corey Crawford. You're like, your adrenaline's going, okay, talk a little faster, deadline ticking, okay. Yeah. It's great, man. It's cool. Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, really, this was how calm he was. And so then you go over to Kaner, and Kaner's just a pro. I mean, he's just, again, I stop complimenting him. People think I'm biased and all that. But he just handles himself so well in these situations. He's had so many of them that he just is matter of fact. He's not like, God, that was a, you know, other people get more kind of like impressed.
Does it not feel... And I'd love to know fans' thoughts. 312-235-2525. Does it not feel like it's the 90s Bulls?
I said that after the Predators series, and you're exactly right. There's a sense that...
I mean, I know Michael's the greatest of all time, but we've got two generational players that are ours, and they're in the prime of their career in Kane and Taves.
Cap, if the Hawks get to the Western Conference Finals, as it looks, and you know they have every opportunity... You know, you don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves, but the narrative, the storyline, the big picture look at these Hawks is going to start to go to that next phase. All right, so now, didn't happen last year. They were one fluky bounce off Nick Leddy, you know, away from going to the Stanley Cup Finals and maybe winning it. So now if they win it again in 2010, 2013, you have to ask a question. If it happens in 2015, 3 in 5 years.
That's a dynasty.
Okay.
And a salary cap environment on top of it.
Absolutely. So that's what I think when you talk about comparing them to the 90s Bulls. There's a sense of inevitability that you have when you watch these Blackhawks. And more importantly, it's one they play with, Cap. It's one they play with. They expect good things to happen. They expected that goal from Patrick Kane to hold up. I didn't. Did you?
No.
I was like, all right. They get on the board.
I honestly thought, good, they got the first one. That, nice, calms everybody down. Did I think the game would end 1-0? No.
The only time it did, and just to go back to what I wrote, because it's hard to separate the two sometimes, but the reason I wondered, when I started to wonder if the Wild were going to respond in a way that would give the Hawks fits, I wondered at the end of that first period. Because Kruger was just, you know, he just was... That could have been interpreted as a cheap shot. Did you think it was cheap?
I don't know if I thought it was cheap. I just thought it was the Hawks pushing back.
Yeah, but shouldn't it have been the Wild pushing back?
You would think.
You're down 2-0. You're down one goal in the third game, which you know you have an opportunity because Blackhawks teams under Joe Quenneville, as a stat everyone was talking about, 1-9 in game threes on the road going into last night. You're the Wild, and you're down in the first period against a team that you should beat and you have to beat, and you see your guy get pummeled by this little wisp of a center. You respond.
How about the penalty that set up the goal, because it was a power play goal? They cheap-shotted Brian Bickell,
yeah,
and he's laying in a heap down on the ice, and I'm like, oh, God. And he was fine. Kane got crushed.
That was the scariest moment of the night, wasn't it?
He's laying on the ice?
Yes.
And then the play goes the other way, so you're there watching. On TV, the play goes the other way. He's face down on the ice, and I said to my wife, oh, God, he just broke his collarbone.
There's not an eye in the press box that was watching the puck. Everybody was looking at that in the ice.
And
like,
then,
is he going to get up?
Okay, so
is he going to get up?
On the TV broadcast, the puck goes to the other end of the ice, and while they're buzzing around, and all of a sudden, here comes 88 skating. and I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
And not only was he skating, Cap, did you notice how he looked like he was looking for somebody?
Yeah.
You don't see Kane sniping.
He was ticked.
He was ticked off, and here comes big, bad Patrick Kane, you know? Oh, boy, he's really going to intimidate somebody. But he looked like he was looking for a pound of flesh.
He was.
That's hockey, baby!
That's it.
That was interesting. And you, for a split second, you thought, uh-oh, what did he hurt? What happened to him?
That's what I thought. I'm like,
and he brushed it off after
kidding.
The game. He said he's fine. And, you know, the one thing that he did credit to, we got to find out about this surgery. I know that we've reported it and talked about it, but what did they put in there? He's like the bionic man.
Wow.
Bigger.
Phenomenal.
Faster. Stronger.
Yeah. Mike just said, it's like Adrian Peterson coming back in 9 months. Here he is 5 weeks ahead of schedule and playing at a world-class level from day one.
That's not a bad comparison. I hesitate to compare anybody to Adrian Peterson these days.
So, anyway, 312-235-2525. We will get to some Bulls talk. They take on the Cavs game 2 tonight. Chance to do what the Hawks did, grab a stranglehold in their series.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit tougher for the Bulls to beat the Cavs tonight, I think, than it was for the Hawks to beat the Wild.
312-235-2525. We'll get to all of those calls that are on the board and Eddie at 9:55. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD. You get the fastest internet smart TV functions available. Come in the app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, a better experience. Shop where we shop. It's Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com. Ask for Steve Shapiro. Apt's been pleasing people since 1936. Take a time out. We'll come right back. It's Cap and Haw on CSN and WGN Plus.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
I guess you could say as a goalie, you never want to give up goals in a game, so that was good for myself, but as a team too, that was great for us defensively to have no goals in a game.
Well, you got to stay focused every game in the playoffs. You know, every bounce or little goal matters. So thrilled the whole thing. I thought you were great. I was able to see all the shots, and they were clearing stuff after, so it's a great job by our guys.
Corey Crawford.
Great job.
We were good.
It was great.
It's a good win for our guys. They kept the puck out of the center of the ice. Yeah. He was very chill after the game, but he got it done 30 for 30 in saves on shots, and the Hawks are 1-0 winners. They are 3 games up now on the Minnesota Wild. Cabin Hawk continues, WGN Plus, Comcast Sportsnet.
So I want to ask you this. Phil Duza on Twitter says, Crawford is calm. Cutler would be considered a jerk. There's a double standard. Do we have a double standard in the way that we look at the Blackhawks overall? And kind of...
Well, first of all, they've won.
That's a big difference. Doesn't that buy you a lot of... doesn't that color your opinion on everything? When it comes to the Hawks?
I don't know.
But the other thing is,
see, I don't think that's a really good.
Phil is way off base.
Interpretation.
Phil,
there.
You're way off base, dude. Way off base. You know why? Because when Scott Darling was playing, who was the first guy on the ice to congratulate him?
Exactly.
And when Jerkface got hurt in the NFC title game, he's sitting on the bench.
Don't go back 5 years.
Biting his nails.
Don't go back 5 years.
And he's just kind of looking away. And there's Josh McConnell sitting right there, or Caleb Haney.
I didn't want to push your ignite button when it comes to the Jay Cutler.
There's no comparison.
Issue.
No comparison.
I just wondered. I do hear that sometimes, though, Cap. Maybe I'm just sensitive to it. People think that I personally approach the way that I write about the Blackhawks differently than I do, say, the Bears.
You never know. You never know.
Or and I think that's, you are conscious of that. You're always conscious
of
that.
But if the Bears had two Super Bowls in the last 5 years,
exactly.
You'd be like, whatever, the guy delivers.
I think so. I think you can write with a tone, or not just writing, but you can talk and approach these guys, your opinion's influenced by the fact that they have a championship pedigree. And that buys a lot of the benefit of the doubt. Whereas you're looking at the Bears and the default is mediocrity, right?
Agreed.
So I just find that kind of curious.
If Jay was putting up numbers.
There's
like
no
Peyton,
double standard
like
here.
Like Peyton Manning
yeah,
or Tom Brady.
Yeah.
People would be like, whatever.
Right. No, I don't think there's a double standard, but I think it was worth at least exploring. Thank you for straightening me out, Cap.
You know, I believe that Jay's can work his way out of this.
People in this locker room were in a good place.
They're in a good place.
312-235-2525. Let's go to the phones, and we'll start with Paul in St. John, Indiana. Hey, Paul, what's going on there, Hammer?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's up, Captain Howe? How you doing? Love the show, man.
Thanks. Thank you.
Great stuff. Hey, just want to comment on some of the Hawks stuff. Just want to hear your comments on the play of Teuvo Teravainen. And I know he gets limited ice time, but it seems like whenever he was on the ice, he was doing the right stuff. And their depth, I mean, when people were panicking, I wanted to come out with the whole Aaron Rodgers thing with the whole relax. You know, I think Crawford was a little tired, got some rest during the Nashville series, and now it's just like I think we're the team to beat.
Well,
Paul, thanks for the phone call.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
I don't disagree with
that. He was magnificent last night, Corey.
Yes.
Teuvo Teravainen was outstanding.
Teuvo was everywhere.
All over the place. I still believe that if it was the Blues series, they were playing the Blues, he wouldn't be dressing.
I don't disagree with that. I think that most people are glad that he is
dressing. How many shots on net there, Mr. I was at the game? How many shots on net did Patrick Kane have?
How am I Mr. I was at the game? Why did you say that? I don't know. I don't know that off the top of my head.
He had one shot on net for the game, and it went in.
Right. How about Teuvo?
Teuvo had four.
I know Teuvo had four. Teuvo was active. You noticed him on the ice. He's a guy that has to stay there. He's playing on the third line. He's playing with players that he makes better and bring the best out of him. I just can't get over how young he is. I mean,
looks like
he
a baby.
Is so youthful looking. Seeing him and the things that he does for the Hawks, and seeing how just he looks like a teenager playing youth hockey doesn't compute. But he's one of those guys with Kruger that they're going to be part of this core moving forward. And that's why the Hawks are so dangerous. And that's why you have the talk of, you know, sustained success, dynasty even, if they can, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But we are getting ahead of ourselves.
We are. Last
night, the table's exciting.
Last night, I'm doing Sports Talk Live, and Mark Schanowski's on the panel for a Bulls segment.
Yeah.
And I said, Mark, David Hall and I were discussing this morning. Just have a question for you. Let's assume that the Bulls advance. Do you think it'd be tougher to beat Atlanta or Washington? Because I think it'd be Washington. He's like, I won't even go there. We've won one game. I can't even look ahead to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm like,
that's what we do.
Exactly. I go, as long as Thibs and the players aren't doing it,
do.
Who cares? He wouldn't answer it.
Come on.
He would not go there.
Why not?
Because he wouldn't.
Superstition?
I guess.
I already am thinking about how they're going to deal with, who's going to guard Wall and who's going to guard Beal.
Correct. Correct.
And if they get eliminated, they get eliminated. It'll have nothing to do with what we talk about.
It's like when I tweet, hey, alert, tune in, Jake Arrieta, Chris Sale, whoever, have a no-hitter or a perfect game going, and I get all these angry tweets back. I mean, hundreds. Shut up, jerk. You're going to jinx him. No.
Well,
I'm not.
No,
I'm not even in the stadium.
No, you're not. That's an entirely different
so story. Stupid.
But when you're watching, and I know you weren't watching, you in the general sense, the Hawks and the Wizards last night, and the Hawks came back and they won a game.
Yeah.
Don't you think the average Bulls fan was watching that team on the Wizards and thinking, well, I wonder how we would match up with Wall's not playing. Well, what would they do with Beal? Who would guard Pierce anyway? This possession, that's natural.
Right.
That's sports.
Completely agree. 312-235-25.
Hey, Cappy.
25. Yes, sir.
Can I say something, too? You were just talking about this, you know, the Arrieta, you got to – you know, a no-hitter going into the seventh, you tweet about it.
Oh, here we go. I know where you're going.
This is the same guy who in overtime stood the entire time not sit in his seat. Because
into the third overtime.
Into the third overtime because you personally feel that you could affect the game.
That, you know, that's a
by
we
not
need a,
sitting.
We need a button. We need a button when something like that happens. Just press it.
Well, it's actually – it's called That's Whack, Bro.
Okay, that's today.
That's
11:25. That's pretty whack, though, Cap. How do you reconcile what you just said with how you act, how you will act Saturday night if the Hawks come back and it's game five and they go into overtime?
I won't sit.
And you're forced to sit because your spot is, like, blocked off. You have
Boom.
To sit.
Roasted.
You'll stand up?
Without a doubt.
You rationally think that has an impact?
No, but in my warped mind, it does.
Okay.
And in other people's warped minds, you tweeting about Jake Arrieta having a no-hitter going into the seventh affects that.
No, because there's a difference, Mike. There's a big difference. I am a reporter. As Matt Forte said, I am a journalist.
And now you're a reporter, too?
I have.
Well, you're pre- and post-host. That's not a reporter.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is. Really? Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I guess. But okay.
I don't report stories on the Cubs beat.
No, you. That's true. That's true. But let's stay focused on the track here.
So when I am tweeting about a perfect game, I am enlightening the people that follow me because I am a reporter. I am a broadcaster.
Yeah, it's what's
That's
happening.
Different than me as a fan feeling like I can impact
you know,
the
Cap,
outcome.
In an odd way, I understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
I do understand what
Take
you're saying
Take that,
there.
Mike.
I do. You're in a professional role when you are tweeting about something you're observing.
And you are a crazy person when you're standing for three periods.
You're a season ticket holder.
Probably.
When you're
Correct.
Standing there. You're a season ticket holder.
Correct.
And you know what? If you're a season ticket holder, you can do whatever you want at the game.
Correct.
Don't tell a fan how to act.
Thank you.
All right.
312-235-2525.
I can think it's warped, but I wouldn't tell you how to act.
Thank you. Let's go back to the phone. Zach is in Joliet, Illinois. Joliet, Zach, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Zach.
Hey guys, back from college. Love to watch the show again. So
thank you. Nice
Welcome you home.
Where do we go to school, Zach?
Butler University.
Oh yeah, home
you're
of the Bulldogs.
Bulldog, baby.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in about your guys' Barry Melrose comment yesterday, and I kind of feel like it's a double standard with that too. Because if Duncan Keith messes up in a game, you're kind of like, oh, it's Duncan Keith, you know. But if Corey Crawford has a bad game, people are like, oh, it's all Corey Crawford's fault. But the thing is, he has a Stanley Cup to his pedigree too, so. I feel like there's some sort of double standard there, too.
Do you think that the national media, Zach, doesn't give Corey Crawford the benefit of the doubt even though he's won a cup?
Sometimes when I hear Barry Melrose talk or E.J. Raddick on NHL Network, they're bashing him pretty hard.
Yeah, I think you're right, Zach. I think you're onto something.
Zach, be good, buddy.
Thanks,
Welcome
Zach.
Home for the summer.
Go Butler.
Hey, let's hear the whole clip, okay?
The whole Barry Melrose clip? Okay.
Yeah. A familiar spot for the Wild, as they have been down 2-0 to the Blackhawks in each of their last two postseasons. So what do they need to do to get back in this series?
They got to get to Corey Crawford. Corey Crawford was a struggling goaltender in game one. Looked like he might even get pulled after the second period when he gave up three goals. They weren't able to get to him. They lost that game 4-3. Corey Crawford really bounced back in game two, played a much better game. That's the Achilles heel of Chicago. They got everything you need. They got all the guys that won the cups, two cups. But the Achilles heel is Corey Crawford.
There it is.
That's context.
Courtesy ESPN. Thank you.
You know, though,
worldwide leader.
I look, it was a convenient thing to point out last night because the irony of it. I think when you have a goaltender play that well after he was called out on national television that day. It's interesting. But, you know, Cap, let's not be too like, oh boy, that was just Barry Melrose. He's on an island all by himself. When Corey Crawford struggled, how many of us during that first series wondered if Scott Darling was going to take the Hawks the rest of the way?
Like an anti-Niemi.
Yes, and I think that discussion was valuable and it wasn't off base because he played at a level that you thought you could see that happening. So, and Corey Crawford was the object of a lot of doubt. And he had earned it, I guess, because we trusted Joel Quenneville's opinion, which brought questions. So, sports are funny, man. I mean, Corey Crawford today is on top of the world, right? He thinks they can win a cup because of him, not in spite of him. Derrick Rose, you know, after a couple games in Milwaukee in that first series we have been all over the map with Derrick Rose in Chicago, right?
We have.
Tonight, who knows what we're going to feel like tomorrow about Derrick Rose. I think that as much emotion as sports bring out, sometimes you have to have discipline too, and that's hard because things change so quickly. And right now, Corey Crawford is this, but you know, where's he gonna end up? Are we gonna have another day this spring where we come in and you're like, Corey Crawford's in my crosshairs?
I hope not. Well, I've got a trivia question for you and Edzo. He's next. Very interesting about the Hawks. Be right back.